The hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologists. So if you want to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you can get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spazzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. And we are talking about something that Dr. Giuseppe and I hope never to do, living together.
Yes, I mean, we haven't even shared an office. That would be bad enough.
You know what? It's funny. We've been down the hall from one another, but we hang out in the same office.
Yes.
But it's as a guest in one another's office.
Yes. You usually come by as a guest host in my office, yeah.
As a guest host. Yeah, we do the show from your office, and I occasionally guest host your... It's like the Merv Griffin show down there.
It is. It is.
Wow, am I dating myself? Merv Griffin, oh.
Yeah, Jay Leno would be...
Oh, no, I know.
Not even contemporary. I mean,
yeah,
you're stretching.
Doesn't work. Jimmy Kimmel. Okay. It's like the Jimmy Kimmel show down there.
Yes,
we'll edit the rest of that out. So what we're talking about is something that I've been looking at the website lately and seeing how people are finding us. And one of the things that people are asking about that leads to the familyanatomy.com website is, should people live together before getting married? And that's a question I think that a lot of couples, young couples maybe especially, have.
It's more and more common, right? As I guess part of it is as the church's influence has declined over the last 30, 40, 50 years, and some of those taboos against living together before marriage have declined with it, then that's what you're seeing. You're seeing people choosing to live together before marriage.
I know a lot of couples who live together and have lived together for several years with no plans of ever getting married.
So did you say several? Did you say most of the people you know, or
no, several people that I can think of. Like, I know some people who live together in anticipation of getting, they sort of moved in together when they were getting engaged, or there was something about the timing of getting the house and when they were able to get the hall for the wedding and things like that. So I do know several people who moved in together just in advance of getting married. They were engaged, they were going to get married. They were married in all but name. In other words,
this is not uncommon. I mean,
exactly,
this happens regularly.
Yeah, and we have other family friends who have no plans to get married. They don't want to have kids or anything. They just want to be a couple, and they figure, well, if they're not involved in any religious faith or anything like that, so they figure, well, we already live together. What difference is a piece of paper going to make? Because they're not religious, I guess, is the reason why they're okay with that. Now, both of them come from parents who divorced.
Okay.
So maybe that's something that's on their mind and saying, well, why are we? We don't want to follow in our parents' footsteps because we want to stay together, so we're not going to get married, which seems counterintuitive when you say it out loud, right?
Although I guess there's this fear that somehow marriage in and of itself was the pressure that led to, you know what I mean? But that doesn't actually add up.
But
there's a fear there.
Did your relationship change after you got married?
I don't think so. I think if you asked my wife, she might think so.
You stopped picking up your laundry and the honeymoon was over day two?
No, I don't think... I didn't personally find a big difference. I should say I dated my wife for about 10 years before we got engaged.
You know, if you liked it, you should have put a ring on it. Contemporary.
Wait, what are we talking about?
I gotcha, Beyonce.
Okay.
You know, this is a really great podcast, but Beyonce has the best podcast of all time.
She does.
I have no idea she has a podcast.
Yeah, okay. That's
another pop culture reference. I don't know what's gotten into me.
So we dated for 10 years. Got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 10 years. Something like that.
The husband, these things are a hazy mystery.
It's a little hazy.
we won't share this episode with your wife.
No, I'll delete it as it comes up on iTunes. But Then we got engaged. And okay. we stayed engaged. Like, it was a long engagement. I think it was 2 years. Again, don't quote me on that.
Wow. So you were together for 12 years before you got married.
That sounds like a long time.
My goodness.
Anyway, in those 2 years, for about the last 8 months of the engagement, we lived together prior to actually getting married.
And what was the reason for that setup?
Well, it's a little complicated. I was living with two women.
All right. All right, Mr. Jack
Tripper.
You
notice the pause there?
See, I had to stop and think. You were living.
I set you up for an old reference. Did you see that?
See, and I did say Mr. Jack Tripper at the end. I was going to do a Mr. Furley impression, but I just couldn't bring myself.
You totally went for it. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, you set them up and I knock them down.
Yeah. Now, so I was living with two friends and our living arrangement was coming to an end. You know, one of them was getting married and she was moving out. Another one had other plans and started to move out. So,
you sold the rights to your life to the Big Love TV show on HBO.
That's right. And, so now I do, Big Love and this podcast.
Wow. You're the king of all media, right? Howard Stern has nothing on you.
So anyway, so it was more, convenience in terms of living arrangements.
You were
going to
get married very soon.
Very soon.
You each had separate places. Your lease was coming to an end.
Yeah.
Why are you going to pay two rents? Why are you going to sign a new lease when you're getting married in 8 months?
Exactly. Because I did actually look for an apartment right next to hers, like down the street from hers.
Okay.
And then we just sort of thought about it and thought, why would we do that? We're going to be married in 8 months. So
now your parents are older and they're not from around here.
Nope.
What was their reaction when you moved in before getting married?
I don't believe I mentioned it, as I recall.
You slipped that one by them.
Now, here's
Son,
the thing.
Why do you have ladies' underwear in your apartment?
No, here's what it is. I don't actually recall, which means that whether I told them or whether I did not tell them, it made no difference. So I really don't think at that point, once we were engaged and they knew, and we made quite a big thing about our engagement. The way I proposed, you know, I did a bit of an elaborate thing with that. Mm-hmm. And then the way we told the people in our lives about it, it was quite elaborate. So people were excited for us. We were excited to be getting married soon. And so really, I don't think anyone would have had a problem with it at that point.
And after 10 years, 95% of those people were just saying, finally.
Yeah, already.
Get off the fence.
That's right.
Well, you married up, dude.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
You're still married. How many years have you been married?
Now you're going to do one of these on me, are you?
See how I did that?
Okay. We were actually only dating for 5 years and the engagement was 2. So the whole
Oh,
not
man.
Even close. 5, wow. 10.
Just felt, you know? Like 10.
Yeah. So anyways, the point is we got married in 1998, which means we just passed our 10th year anniversary. It's been 11 years now. But just before our 11th anniversary, we had a beautiful trip to Rome.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't realize I've been married longer than you have. What do you know?
How many years?
We are going to be celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary this summer.
Wow.
But there's a lot of research on this stuff, and you just do a Google search on cohabitation, and the headlines that come up are wild, and a lot of them are, you know, a lot of them are religious organizations and things like that. We'll have their ideas about the matter, and that's fine. But there's been a lot of research too suggesting that living together before getting married is a bad idea, that those couples have lower satisfaction, that they have a greater risk of breaking up, that they think about breaking up more often than couples that didn't live together first.
That's right. And you know, what's interesting about this is that my father-in-law, for some reason, I remember this conversation, not that it applied to myself and my wife, but he was just giving his opinion on living together and not getting married.
Okay.
And I think it was around the idea of, well, what about buying a home and living together without getting married? And
like he was promoting this idea?
No, he thought it wasn't a good idea that you're doing things backwards and you should get married first and then live together. And, you know, at first when I heard that, because I have a bit more of a modern view on things, I thought, well, it's coming from an older religious belief system. And I thought, well, I respected his opinion. And but I didn't quite convince me based on that, the way he presented it. But when I thought about it later, I realized that there is a way to understand this, that it doesn't necessarily have to be religious, although maybe originally the religious idea behind it was the same sort of mechanism at work, which is, you're making a commitment when you buy a home, right?
Right.
You're making a commitment when you get married. You're making a commitment when you have a child. You're making a commitment if you decide to take out a joint loan. You're making a commitment if you decide to buy a motorcycle together, mm-hmm. or a car together. Mm-hmm. There's very different levels of commitment and also different types of commitment, meaning some commitments are explicit. Will you marry me, Dr. Brian McDonald?
I'm already married, Dr. Spisano. So the answer is no. That, not today. That window may open in the future.
Yes, okay. Let's just get back to pretending for a minute.
Right.
Yeah. So that's an explicit commitment. Explicit. Right? You actually have to face the person and profess your love for them, your desire to spend the rest of your life with that person. It's explicit. There's a lot of other commitments that aren't explicit. They're implicit. And a lot of these other ones I just mentioned are implicit commitments. Let's buy a house together. Let's have a child together. Let's have a...
Well, if you both sign a mortgage, then that's... If you're signing the paperwork, that makes it explicit. I think in addition to that, there's something else that happens with marriage versus living together. And I think that may be changing. But in the past, those wedding vows and the legal obligations that went along with them were a barrier to splitting up. Whether it was the religious beliefs or all of the things that go along with the divorce and all of the property that's owned and the materials and the things that are owned together, those are barriers to breaking up that you don't have if you've just moved in together with someone.
That's many, many years ago you're talking.
I think today that's with the laws around common law relationships, that those have changed. And
yeah.
And so it may not be the same as it used to be. And in fact, if we look at the research, now this is a study that was done in Australia, but if you look at the research, there used to be, years ago, a huge gap in the rates of separation or divorce between couples who were married and couples who lived together. Couples who lived together were much more likely to get a divorce than couples who were married in 1945 in Australia.
And that's shrinking, but it's still there.
It's very small now, to the point, I think, in the year 2000, that I wouldn't say it's almost insignificant, but it's very small. And if you look at a graph of those... over time, of the separation rates, those lines between the couples that live together
They're
and the couples
converging.
That are married are almost together.
Yeah. Getting back to implicit, what I meant to say was that if you decide to buy a home together, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've never actually had to face the question, are we committed to one another? Do you know what I mean? That's an explicit commitment to each other.
Yeah.
A house is kind of implicit. Obviously, there's a commitment there, but it's implicit. You're not directly saying to one another, I'm committed to you. We are both committed to that, not necessarily to each other.
Right.
So there's something about having to make that explicit commitment.
And that's a temporary commitment as well, because very few people, and we're talking mostly, I think, about younger couples who are thinking about getting married or moving in together or buying their first home. Very few of them buy that first home expecting that that's the home that they're going to live in for the rest of their lives. And marriage is a very different kind of a commitment,
it is.
Right?
And even renting an apartment together is a lesser commitment, right? Because you can very easily move out of that kind of a commitment.
Unless you're in Manhattan. There are couples in Manhattan who break up and stay together to keep the apartment.
Right.
Which, I mean...
Beautiful apartment that, nobody
Manhattan,
wants to leave.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Now, there's also some research that looks at the intention around you might be living together, but you have the intention to marry. And those statistics are closer to the ones where the people actually get married.
Sure. There was a recent study in Journal of Marriage and the Family, and they, of course, this is a journal that looks, it publishes a lot of research about this exact topic. That's what it's all about. And what they found was that couples who were married tended to be more satisfied with their relationship. They tended to be more, or to view their relationship more seriously than couples who lived together. They were less likely to have talked about breaking up than couples who were living together. Now, this was in Norway and Sweden, but I mean, I don't think the results would be wildly different elsewhere, just based on what I know about couples and relationships. But when they broke it down and they looked at it more closely, they found that if couples moved in together with the expectation that they were going to get married within 2 years, they didn't really differ from the couples who moved in together after getting married. So that intention, is it a trial? Are we just going to try living together and see how it works out? Or are we moving in together because we plan on spending the rest of our lives together, and it's just the ceremony is going to come a little bit down the road?
Again, it says something about that original commitment and how strong it was or how explicit it was.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're in a situation where you're planning on getting married in 2 years, you've talked about it. You've thought about your commitment. You're not just jumping into it. And hopefully you're going into it with the idea that this is over the long term. This is for the long haul. This is the person I want to grow old with. As opposed to that idea that we used to hear, I know I used to hear about when, in the mid 90s, when I was finishing up high school and starting to go out into the world, that we used to hear about the idea of living together to see if you're compatible. And that was sort of a different kind of a notion. I hadn't heard about that. I hadn't thought about that before, really.
If you think about it on a practical level, because I that crossed our minds too. It
makes sense.
Logically makes sense. You
sure.
Say, listen, I wonder if we're going to be able to get along in a marriage. Why don't we live together to see, because we'll have that same sort of thing. We'll be living together, sharing things, having to, the duties in the house. And, now logically, if you just look on the surface of that in a practical way, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, what that leaves
but again,
out is,
to
that,
me,
is that nobody's happy together. The fact is, whether you're married or you're not married, nobody's going to be happy with each other. Come on. So why are you going to move in together and just make yourself unhappy sooner?
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sure. But it goes back to that idea that on the practical level, it makes a lot of sense. On a deeper level, are you afraid of making a commitment? Is that one of the reasons you want to try it first?
And that's part of the difficulties with these studies, because they can't really assign couples to groups. You can't take 1,000 couples and say, okay, you 500 couples that I picked randomly from this group, you move in together before you get married, and you other ones, you're not allowed to move in together until you're already married. You can't do that. The groups select themselves.
Right.
You sort of look at it after the fact. A lot of these studies, though, that we've talked about found data that had been collected from massive samples over years and years and years. So they were looking at people before they got married and sort of trying to figure out what led them to their current relationship status, whatever that was. Right?
Right.
And one of those, one of the things, I mean, okay, so we're talking about intention. And if you plan on getting married and you're moving in together, the research is showing, for the most part, I think, that your relationship is probably going to be pretty similar to someone who waits to move in together until they're married.
It's saying something about the level of your commitment.
No doubt. Now, once you throw kids into that mix, things start to get complicated. What do you know about being a parent of a little baby?
It's a lot of work. Stressful. It puts stress on the marriage.
It puts stress on the relationship. You're tired. You never realize, boy, and you know, people say that and you don't, maybe it doesn't ring true unless you have kids, but you don't really know how tired you can be until you have a little baby at home who's keeping you up all night for 6 months at a time. It's so stressful on a relationship, I think. You don't have time for each other because you have a little infant who is completely dependent. You can't leave an infant with a babysitter if breastfeeding is something that's happening. You really have to plan everything out and time it. It's a lot of work and it's stressful. And for couples who are living together in that situation without that marital commitment, they have a much harder time. And they found after the research here has found that after controlling for a whole lot of other things, couples with kids who were living together were 2.5 times more likely than other couples to break up over the first 3 years of the child's life.
I think one of the things that people forget to think about when the child comes along, because we talk about there's stress on the marriage, there's stress, you're not sleeping as well, there's this, there's that. The one thing that I think weighs on marriage a lot once kids come along is how good are you at working together? I think that becomes a very big issue. You don't have kids, okay? You don't have kids. You know, you're off, you go do your workout, maybe go for a bike ride, you go to a movie, you know, you go out, have, drinks with friends, you stay up late and your partner does a lot of these things sometimes together with you, sometimes not. The dishes don't get done or some laundry doesn't get done. Well, you can do your own laundry. No big deal, right?
You can do your own thing.
Not a big deal. There's not that much work to do. Okay. You can take care of yourself like you probably were before you got married and you're out of your parents' home. You're probably on your own for some time, at least, most people.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking care of yourself. They're taking care of themselves. No big deal. Now you have a baby. There's so much more work unless there's some agreement as to how that work is going to be shared that both people are happy with. That's going to create a lot of problems.
And here's the other part of that situation. How many of those couples were thrown into that? Because remember, these are unmarried couples who have kids. How many all of a sudden find themselves, whoa, wait a second. We're just living together. Just living together.
Yep.
We haven't made that explicit commitment. And now we have a child to raise?
That's a big commitment.
You prepare to get married. That's a big commitment. You prepare for it. You spend a lot of time getting ready for that. But a baby, you know,
is a bigger commitment than the marriage. Think about that. The baby is likely to outlast one of the members of the couple. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So you're going to be into the future spending more years with your son or daughter than you are with your partner.
I mean, all of this is added stress, right? All of this is added stress. Whether you're happily moving in together, I mean, no matter how happy you are, that's a transition that can be stressful. When you're getting married, that's another family change that can be, if you look at those life stress questionnaires, even those positive things that happen are listed as stressors in your life. Having a baby is a big one, and I would say having a baby makes a lot of other things more stressful than they would have been if you didn't have the baby at home.
You're absolutely right. Playing Wii with your son is on that list.
Hey, I don't get stressed out by that.
You should.
No, I play.
You should be getting stressed out.
I play
like
Xbox
that.
With my son.
So okay, so then that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah. It's not. I can sit back. I just move my thumbs. So the important thing, I think, you probably don't enter into a marriage without thinking about it and talking about it with your partner ahead of time, right?
Well, if you're but here's the thing. If you're going to get married, it's not just that you're going to have to stand across from them and say these vows that explicitly say you're going to be committed to them for the rest of your days and into eternity sometimes, right? There's even eternity. But when you're not, the other part of that is that it's usually in front of a group of people that know you very well. So you're doing it in front of a community of people explicitly. Very different from, I don't know about marriage. Why don't we just live together for a while and see how it goes? Sure, that sounds good. Nobody else is involved. Nobody, basically they find out later, yeah, we decided to move in together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a party associated with that, but it's not a wedding. It's not a marriage. It doesn't have the same...
There's no social pressures around. There's no social sort of witness around that either. So that it's like... This is not a great analogy, by the way, I'm about to make.
Well, boy, when you start it with that observation, I can tell this is going to be good.
However, it's like a chain. You see what I mean? You see that already?
With a ball attached.
It's like a chain. It's like a really heavy, heavy chain.
Weighing you down.
Right?
Your wedding. Your marriage.
You're linked. You're linked with this heavy thing. As opposed to the sort of transparent chain that could sort of come apart, you know, okay. It's not, right?
I mean, what we're saying is basically if you go into a situation where you're moving in with someone and not getting married in order to have an out, right?
Exactly.
Let's not get married just in case.
We're talking about a fear of commitment.
Yeah, you're going into it with the idea that, yeah, well, we'll probably break up. So
if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, here's the thing that I think... I think we need to say, especially if there's not kids involved, you might prefer that kind of thing. You might prefer to have a lighter commitment in your relationships. That might be something you might actually explicitly even convey that to your partner. Listen, you know, I don't know how serious I want to be, but, you know, let's move in together. You know what I mean?
Sure.
As long as it's something that's...
That you know going in.
Yeah, that you're both aware of going in.
Some people might look at these results and say, well, okay, they didn't get married because maybe they were concerned there would be some incompatibility. They found out there was an incompatibility and they split up.
A good thing.
What's wrong with that? If there's no kids involved.
Exactly.
You can go off and be your own person.
Now, when there's kids involved, you hope that people are a little bit more responsible than that because, you know, there's other human beings at stake.
That's true. Now, there's a great comedian by the name of Pat Dixon who said, if I got married tomorrow and stayed happily married for the rest of my life, my personal divorce rate would still be 67%. He's already been married twice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I like that one. And that brings us to top three things.
Let's do it.
Top three things. Well, the number one thing is any kind of a major change in your relationship, whether it's getting married, moving in together, anything like that, can be a stressful transition. Even if it's a positive transition, it can still be stressful. I think it's important for couples to talk about that, to talk about what their hopes are, maybe even what their fears are. We've always said consistently, I think, on Family Anatomy that communication is the key. No matter what you're concerned about in your relationship, communication is the most important thing.
And the number two thing to consider is that your intention going into a cohabiting relationship is what's making the difference in the research. If you're engaged to be married and you're living together before being married, the outcome statistics aren't very much different from people who wait to be living together after they get married. So it has to do with what we were talking about before, the explicitness of your commitment. And we should say that, you know, if the desire is not to have a strong commitment, that can also be out on the table too. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And the third thing is, boy, kids complicate this situation. kids are a major stressor in the life of anyone who has a new baby. It's a one, don't get me wrong, there's so many positives. I have two kids. I totally think the positives outweigh the negatives. But that's another major source of stress. And what the research shows pretty consistently is that for many couples, that stressor is too much. And there's a high risk of separating within the first 3 years after a child is born. So that's, I think that's more something to be aware of than anything else before you make that commitment and you take that big step. And that's going to bring us up to our website of the week.
And our website of the week this week is divorcedbusting.com.
Now, this is a website that's run by Michelle Weiner Davis. She has a master's in social work. And it's really all about if you're having trouble with your relationship but you want to save it, this is information for couples. We've worked with or talked to parent coaches before. She has telephone coaching for relationships. There's an online community. She has forums where people post information about how their relationship is going, and if they need help, they can ask questions there. The reason why I picked this one is that years ago, when I was doing my training, when I was first working on becoming a therapist, one of the things I was interested in was marital therapy, and one of the first books I read was her book, Divorce Busting, and it's so practical. Just the ideas in there are simple exercises that just seem so practical, but it gets people thinking and talking about the relationship. I thought that was a great book, and I still use some of the strategies that I read about in the Divorce Busting book. And so now to see, now back then she didn't have a website, but now to see she's got this website. Now, yes, there are products here that she's selling. She also has a blog, and there's also articles on the site that you can take a look at. She's got a map of a typical marriage, how it progresses from the initial commitment through over the years. She calls it her marriage map. She has some little quizzes and things that you can take. But it really is good information for couples who feel like maybe their relationship isn't all that it could be.
Now, she calls herself a coach as well. And it sounds like what she's saying is she thinks many or most couples who are thinking about divorce can be brought back from the brink.
She thinks that, I think she said on the site, every relationship can be saved. It's pretty strong words.
Those are pretty strong words.
And so we thought, you know, here we are, we're talking about living together versus marriage and the commitment and things like that and the separation and divorce rates. Well, this is a nice little site that can give you some information that hopefully will make it less likely that that separation is something that's going to happen in your future.
That's
and
right.
That's our website of the week, divorcebusting.com.
And that's it for us. We'd like to thank all our listeners for getting the word out about our show and say hi to all those new listeners coming to us from podfeed.net. And you can get a hold of us at info@familyanatomy.com for email, and you can visit our website at familyanatomy.com. And as always, Dr. Brian has an announcement.
Well, I guess the announcement is, since we talked about Michelle's book, the Divorce Busting book, that we've got a little search bar on our page. If you're looking at any of the articles on the right-hand side, you'll see an Amazon.com search bar. You can find your books there. And what's nice about that is that it doesn't cost you anything else, but Amazon will send us a little something in return for people just doing their search from familyanatomy.com. So it's kind of a nice way for Amazon to share something with us for promoting the books that we talk about on our podcast. That's the end of the show for tonight. As usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, who's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
Familyanatomy.com.